Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. You are listening to Issue Scripture Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome to the program this evening. It is Monday, the 10th of September, 2018. We'd like to welcome to the broadcast all those you've called in at 646-668-2636. Thank you for joining us. And also those listening on www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule this Monday evening to join us in the conversation. Well, today we're going to continue on in a series of shows, and we're talking about submission and what it means in a man's life, in a Christian man's life, in different areas of his life. In previous broadcasts, we talked to what it means, what submission looks like in a Christian man, and what submission in general, in defining what it means and how important it is. If we are to be men, if we are to be leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community, and in our office, that we have to understand what it means to be submitted unto authority. Thereby, we can be an authority as servant leaders in the home, serving the church, serving the community. But I think we have to understand what it means for us to be submitted to authority, and that authority starts with God through his word and submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So first, we got an announcement coming up in October. October the 20th. October the 20th, our date is locked in. Our date is ready. We have everything in place. It's going to be Saturday, October the 20th. The Coalition of Ministries to Men presents Man Up, Strength in Submission. So that's going to be on Saturday, October the 20th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Location is 6716 Governor Ritchie Highway in Glenbury, Maryland. We're asking for a $20 donation. You can register online at PayPal. We have a PayPal link set up, and you can register online there. Also, you can if you go on our Facebook page, you'll see the link for registration, and we just encourage you to come out. It's going to be a time of fellowship. It's going to be a time of Q&A. It's going to be a time of solutions. It's going to be a time of brothers sharing their experiences and yet to encourage one another. We're also going to have a lot of tools for your toolbox. The brothers have been to other Man Up events. You know, we always have resources, devotionals, Bible studies, men's things to send brothers back home with so they can, you have the tools that they can make, they can tune up their marriages, tune up their relationships, and tune themselves up. Sometimes we have to check our own oil, see what's going on. It's time to check our oil. So we're going to have the toolbox. Lunch is also going to be provided. So I encourage you to come out and fellowship with the brothers. A couple of churches that are committed to be part of it this year is New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders with Apostle Etta Banks, Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, the pastor is George Sharps, and also Perfect Order Church in Baltimore, Maryland, where the pastor is Alexander Butler. So, again, go on our Facebook page. You will see the posting there, the link for the PayPal, or you can always reach out to us by calling 443-591-3504, and we can text you the link for the PayPal for the donation of $20 per man. Amen. And this is open for all ages. We're going down to about 15, from 15 and up. So I encourage you to come out, bring your son, bring your nephew, and bring them to be in the presence of godly men discussing real issues and the issue of submission in our lives and what it looks like. Amen? Amen. So tonight I have Elder Mark from New Vision for Kingdom Builders joining me tonight in this conversation. If you called in, 646-668-2636, just press one on your keypad, and we can bring in, share your wisdom, ask a question, and be part of the discussion. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? God bless you.
God bless, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Doing wonderful, brother. Thank you for joining. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule and being part of the discussion tonight.
Yes, sir. It's always a blessing. Thank you.
Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about submission as a marriage. We're going to talk about submission in marriage. And brothers, hold on, because you're not going to be talking about your wives tonight. We're going to be talking about us as husbands. You know, because I think the first thing we have to understand, you know, the role and responsibility of being a husband is sometimes we have to put ourselves aside to be able to fulfill that role biblically and how God planned us to be as husbands. I think sometimes in this culture, especially in the culture, the role of a husband has been minimized. It's been belittled everywhere, but it definitely been minimized. The importance of a husband, the husband's role, you know, when we talk about leaders, first thing comes in the mind of that we're in charge and how we see authority figures. But that's not what the Bible says when it talks about leaders. Submission in marriage also means it's freedom. It's not about being a tyrant and that negative connotation we put on when we say a leader in the home or being under submission to someone. I know the Bible talks about wives being submissive, but we don't talk about what the Bible says about husbands and their role and what it means to be a submissive husband. Amen? So, bro, let me talk with you. You know, some of the things I want to start off with is I'm going to read this real quick to start off our conversation. And it goes, and if there's submission in marriage, it's a form of mutual respect and love. It's not to be forced, but offered freely in response to each other's love. Because the husband loves his wife and meets her greatest needs, because the husband is caring, because the husband is putting his wife's best interest forward, the wife submits and he earns her devotion. And this is what we need. Some of us as husbands and men, are we treating our wives in a way where she can trust and respect us? That's why I think all of us have to look at that and see, no matter where our marriage is, starting out in the middle, if you've been married 30 years, 25 years, 30 years, if you've been married 3 months, 2 years, or 5 years, does your wife see you in her eyes? Does she trust and respect you? Because that's one of the things that I've learned to understand, that women see love different than we see it. They see commitment different. And for them to really show that love, we have to be in a place where all we submitted what God's word said and being, again, are we filling the role of a husband and what God says we should be doing when it talks about loving our wives? Elder, I'm going to start with you, and then I'm going to throw some other things in, because I want to talk about a lot of stuff tonight. We're talking about roles as husband and being submissive as husbands. What do you say, sir?
I really have learned, and I'm blessed to have been married and happily so for 11 years. And I know that's still a big to many of those out there listening, and to some it's like, wow, I hope I can make it there. But I learned in marriage, you know, we as men, our desire is to be the king of our home, the king of our household. And something that I learned is that the only way to be established truly as a king in your household is to establish your queen. So that means you're caring for your wife so that she can establish you as a king, so that your role, you're in the right place for your role. You're doing everything. And like Deacon Farley read, it says that, you know, the woman, we're the husband's love is the woman's greatest need. She needs your love, and she needs to know that you're putting her interest up front. You're putting her best interest forward, and then she'll submit to you and give her devotion. That's what we need. A queen is devoted to her king. A king will protect and care for and love her queen so that she can do all that she needs to do for him to be the king in the household. All the things that you desire and that we ask, we say we want to be the king, we want to be, we want to be in charge, we want to be the one doing everything. I learned a long time ago, starting this marriage and just every day I'm learning it more and more, that the better my wife feels, the better I feel. The more that I can do for my wife, the more she is willing to do for me and my desires and my needs for me to feel fulfilled as a king in the household. And it requires me to line up and do the things, of course. No one will follow someone who isn't being led by something. If you're just out there just willy-nilly doing whatever, how can you expect your wife to listen to you, to follow you? But if she sees you have a plan, you have a direction, you have a guiding force that's stable, that's the word of God, something that she can trust and believe in and follow, and she sees that you're doing it, your whole household lines up. Back to you, sir.
Hey, man, sir, and I agree. That's one of the things we have to understand, too, as husbands. As far as our responsibility and role as a husband, it's to set the vision in the home. It's something I think that young men today don't really take into consideration, because depending on what kind of premarital counseling they got, what kind of, what they learned in the church, or being in the church and being raised as a man in the church, this is why we find it so important here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, to be able to talk about some of the issues, because unfortunately, not all churches have men's ministries where the men come together, just men, and discuss the issues that they're all struggling with. Because we all know we struggle with a lot of things. We try to figure things out, and we don't take time and be able to bounce things off each other. When we talk about our scripture, that's why here we talk a lot about not having scripture turn into cliches. Iron sharpens iron means I know something about you, I know what's going on with you, and I'm helping you work it through. As you help me work it through, because I may have been through the same experience you're going through, or you may have been through it, or we're both on the way, and how we're going to get through each other. So that's one of the things that we focus on when we talk about men's ministry in those times of fellowship. A long time ago, to the people who know me, we gave up with the pancake breakfasts, because coming, eating, and listening to someone preach about something doesn't get to the heart of the issues that are troubling men in the body of Christ. It doesn't get a man an opportunity to open up and share and be able to tell somebody exactly what he's struggling with. And I think that's where our men's ministries have to be in a place where we are hearing what's going on and addressing it biblically straight to the heart of the issue, instead of working on the superficial and the out and working around the edges. Amen. So I'm real quick. I'm gonna bring a scripture in here because I wanted to. Again, we're talking about submission in marriage, and we're talking about men. So I'm gonna go to Colossians chapter number 3. I'm gonna go to verse number 19, and it says, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." That's the husband's duty, to build that love, to build that trust, to build that respect. In love, when we talk about love, we talk about a superficial love. Sacrificial love. Sacrificial love that we are willing to give of ourselves, that we're loving our wives right where she's at, understanding who she is, knowing who she is, and being able to show her love. And that way, we're able to encourage her, we build the trust, we build a relationship, we're building a marriage that's built on something where she can see us as a leader and see you as a leader. And I say this, you know, it wasn't always that way in my marriage and most people, brothers that are honest. Because when you first get married, in those first couple of years, there's struggles, there's challenges, there's a lot going on, you know. But still, it has to be rooted and grounded in the foundation on the relationship. Does your wife respect you and does she trust you? Does she trust you and does she respect you? I think those are the two things we have to gain, even in the courtship, in the process of the courtship. What kind of character are you showing her? What are the things you're doing that builds her and that she can trust and believe in you and rely on you? So I think that's where we have to search ourselves. And again, we have to encourage this generation coming up behind us, those marriages who may be struggling on the edge, to be able to do the tune-up, to be able to look at themselves honestly and look at what they're living and decisions they're making. So I want to go back to you, Elder, real quick. I want to ask you about this. When we're talking about the freedom, that submission in marriage brings freedom, what are some of the things that, I mean, if we are looking to free ourselves from some of the bad things that can happen in marriage, and we as men try to start to submit to some things, what are some of the things that we need to look around in our lives and change our mindset and change our attitudes where we're submitting things that's going to make a difference in our marriage? What do you think, sir?
Well, you know, it's something we have talked about the entire time in this discussion of submission is understanding the Word of God and including that in your life as a guiding force in your life. Submitting to that gives you, you know, just like the scriptures you just showed in Colossians 3:18, I think it goes all the way through 22:23. You know, it's establishment of the Christian home and how wives submit to their husband. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey their parents in all things. You know, all of the things that the Word gives us are for each of our responsibilities, our positions, our submission to those things are what change the atmosphere. It changes the very things that have brought on the issues and problems. When we utilize the Word of God as a guiding force, as a map, for lack of a term, as you know, as an instruction manual, to really show us exactly what to do in all of our situations, all of our issues and everything that we do. And I think, you know, just even when I look at verse 19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." You know, being bitter doesn't necessarily, I don't see it as necessarily saying not only don't be mad at them, but bitter means that you don't show them love. And if you, it says, so do not be bitter toward them. So do not show love. I hate to use a double negative, but so always show love. Love your wives. Don't be bitter. Don't do things against your wives. Don't down talk your wife. Don't disrespect her. How can you as a man say, "I want your respect of my wife and the respect of my children," but you don't give them any respect, person? You don't respect your wife enough to you know, listen to her opinion of things, to understand that she just desires to be treated good. She just desires your attention. We as men make so many things, and, you know, Deacon Fall, you talked about it and mentioned it, how, you know, we get off from the day's work, and instead of going home to our wives or going home to, you know, be in our home, be in our household, we're finding every reason not to go home, finding the bar to go to or the place to go hang out. And understanding we do need fellowship with our fellow brother, and we do need the fellowship with our friends. But if those relationships become greater than that love for your wife, that your wife is now the background, that's being bitter towards your wife. So how can you expect her to love you back? How can you expect her to respect you? How can you expect her to want to treat you as a king or do the things for you that a queen would do for a king if she doesn't even feel like she's ever going to be your queen? You know, marriage is something that just, of course, hits home because I am married, and I love my wife with all my heart. That is truly my blessing and my queen. It's the love of my life, and I feel like I am blessed to be a king because of I've learned to treat her every day better than I treated her yesterday. Not that I treated her bad yesterday, but every day I try to find another way to do more for her, to make her feel even better than the day before. And at the end of the day, I feel even stronger, I feel greater, and I feel like that example, that love, is what God has called me to do. So I feel uplifted and encouraged as a man because my family sees me as a king because I'm treating them the way that the word of God says I should be living and showing them. I'm an example for my son of how to treat his wife when he reaches that age. I'm an example for my friends of how to love your wife, to have a relationship that we're not full of argument and discontent, but every day we're just that in love couple. And when the problems come, we can work the problems out because we have a relationship to depend upon one another, not that one has the responsibility to fix something or repair an issue while the other one sits back and complains. But we're both a team that help encourage one another. So she becomes a queen and I be established as a queen, as a king. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. And I, you know, I agree. Some of that is, these are the things that we have to do. We have to examine where we are in marriage. And as husbands, because a wife's respect for a husband shows him, when she shows you respect, she's showing the unconditional love that helps fuel that when she respects you, it's women respond differently when they respect you or if they're just tolerating you. Let me just say it like that, because, you know, to be honest, we all know people in marriage who it seems like the couple is just tolerating each other. They don't show no real love toward each other. They just there, you know. They just occupying the space, but then they don't show. And because you can always sense it, because we all know there's couples that we know that we don't want to fellowship with. We don't want to be around because they just, the atmosphere around in their marriage just doesn't feel right. It's something, you know, it's just not right. To be honest, you know, and then that's the thing that we have to be able to work on our own marriages. Again, are we setting the temperature in the room for our marriages? Is our wives respecting and trusting us? I think that's the first place we can start. Every husband can start there. Just as a checkup. Again, these are conversations. These are the things you communicate with your spouse, feeling how she's feeling at a given time. Because that's all going to reflect back. And we as husbands, you know, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to know our wives. The scripture, I can't think of the scripture right now, but it talks about loving our living with our wives with the knowledge of knowing who she is. We just study our wives, know who they are. But we have to be able to put that time in. We have to submit unto the word of God. You know, I was looking to the scripture as I was sitting here, and I want to jump into Ephesians chapter 5. And it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing washing of the water by the word. What are we doing? What are we sanctifying our wives? Are we giving our lives to our wives? And all that we do, do we consider them? We consider them in the things and decisions we make. And again, this is something we all have to look at. We have to judge. We have to check ourselves on. You know, because it's a lot. It's a lot of responsibility in being a husband. and what are we doing to make our marriages better? And sometimes we have to be able to see that, because we need to receive that reciprocal love back from them, to see that our wife values us and also honors us, because that makes us feel better. Because there's nothing worse than having for a man to have his wife disrespect and don't value him, seem like make him feel like he's not important, or that she can do without him, or she's not important to her life. She got everything else going on and has nothing to do with him because of the things he may have done in the past, her mindset, the friends she hang with. It's a lot to it that can get us to that place. But again, these are the things that we have to be able to discuss and be able to take on in marriage. And I believe that first way we can do that is being submissive to the word and starting to set the temperature in our homes and start to think about how we're treating our wives, how involved we are with our wives to encourage them, to make them feel like they're special to us. The brother said about it being treating her like a queen. You know, right, encouraging her, you know, encouraging, knowing what's going on with her, dealing with her. This is what we called, again, as Christ loved the church. What has Christ done for the church, for us, for the body of Christ? This church that's here gave his life for it, gave his that life to reconcile us back to the Father. So what are we giving our life to our wives, that they may be glorified and sanctified? Amen? Diligent Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8, and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., discussing issues that affect men's lives. Elder, hold on 1 minute. We got someone who called in, and they have a question or a comment. We're going to bring them in real quick here. Hold on. Praise the Lord. Your last four numbers are 2342. Good evening. How are you?
Praise the Lord, Deacon. This is Elder Raymond from New Vision for Life. And, you know, I called in and was really motivated to hear my son-in-law, Elder Mark Gons. You know, both sides of my family, both mother and father, suffered from generational curses where many of us lost our marriages as a result of not being who God chose us to be. But to combat that situation, God has a big umbrella. And he invites each and every one of us to be amenable to his word. And just hearing my son-in-law sitting there talking about who he is in Christ Jesus, and I know that he is a man of God and a man of his word, it really motivated me and did good for my heart. So love you, son-in-law. Keep on doing what you do. Thank you for being a man of God that you are to all of us. And Deacon Farr, I'm in lockstep with all you all try to do, and I'm not just talking about it. I'm endeavoring to be about it. So these kind of programs help individuals who don't know to realize. I've been married three different times, and thank God my last marriage, the Lord has really blessed me. But it's through the word of God and really surrendering to God's will for our lives that we're able to be who he designed us to be. So thank you for allowing me to share, because I care, and God bless you all.
Amen.
Amen, amen, Elder. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening and listening to the program. And I thank God for you. Yeah, and bro, I hope to see you at the Man Up event. I'm going to send you the link. I'm gonna send somebody to come pick you up, and hopefully you'll be there. Amen. Amen. And continuing the conversation, let me ask you this, Elder Mark. When we talk about, because I want to go back and break it down, because we said a lot here in the first half of the segment of the show, but now I want to go into some of the solutions, some of the things that we all as husbands. First of all, we have to be honest with ourselves, look in our mirror, look at our marriages, look at what's going on, look at the struggles, and let's try and diagnose the problems, you know, because, again, it goes back to, for whatever reason, does your wife trust? And I think that's the thing. We even for the brothers, if you've been married and you've done some stuff, made some bad choices, you whatever it is, finances, your relationships, your things you did here, that, whatever. At what point, what do you start? How you have to get to a place where you start to repair and reconcile back with her, and then show her to build the trust and respect. Because I personally strongly believe once you can build the trust and respect back into your wife, then her submitting to you is gonna be joyful. You know what I mean? Because again, when we go back to what we talk about submission, you know, it's a form of mutual respect and love. It's not to be forced, and it's offered freely in response to each other's love. So if you've done some unloving things in your marriage, you have to be able to reconcile and fix those things, and that's where the healing starts. I mean, it's not going to be easy, and some of it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Especially if your spouse is saved, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's building forgiveness and patience and communication to restore that thing. Because I know so many testimonies of marriages that were shaken a whole bunch of reasons. But yet, when everybody submitted unto God, and that's the other part, submitting unto God's word and who they are and how God defines a man and God defines a woman and God defines a husband and how God defines a wife, these things can be restored. What do you say, sir?
What you said made me really think about something. And you said, you know, we have to look at the man in the mirror and really, you know, in retrospect, look at how we have treated our wives and what we have done. And, you know, sometimes it's like, well, I don't think I really did anything bad. I'm not sure. I didn't really, you know, I didn't cheat on my wife. You know, I treat her pretty good, whatever, whatever. I'm going to give a quick challenge to the men listening. If you think back on the things that have happened in your marriage as far as the way you treat your wife. Now, we as men, most of us love our mothers with a special kind of love. If anything that you have done to your wife, you would have been upset for another man to do to your mother, time for you to go apologize to your wife right now. That's part of giving her the respect. If there's something you did to your wife that you would be mad at another man for doing to your mother, that's something you need to apologize to your wife for right now. Those are the things, sometimes I think when we look at things from a situation from a different perspective, we see it like, oh, well, you know, I was mad at her, this, that, and the other. But if a man was mad at your wife and mad at your mother and cursed her out, you'd be ready to fight. But yet you've done that to your wife. Some have gone as far as even striking their wife. Your place, if that's what you've done, then it's time to go back and apologize to your wife. Because the way you would treat her mother, the love that you would have for your mom, is the same type of love and respect that if you were to give your wife, she would respect you as a king. When we are dealing with the issues of life, understanding we've all had our days where we've said things we didn't mean. We've yelled, we've raised our voices, we've been upset about things. And Deacon Fall, we've had the marriage discussion in many of the Man Up events, so that's a whole other show, as you like to say. That's a whole other radio show to talk about, you know, the reason there's so many problems in marriages and what we really, you know, what's the one of the major reasons behind that. But that's one of the first places to start in rebuilding with your wife is let go of pride and be willing to just go apologize. You know, a lot of times we say we want to be the bigger man. We're the man. Well, be the bigger man and just go ahead and apologize and say, you know what, to your wife, sweetie, I'm sorry. I wasn't in the right place, but I want to move into the right place so that we can be in the right place. There's the beginning of your change.
then you start looking into resources that will show you. There's so many resources. One of my favorite that my pastor shared with our married couples ministry is by Stephen Otterburn, and it's called 7-Minute Marriage Solutions. Talks about how to take 7 minutes in a day and literally change your marriage for the better in 7 minutes. One of the major things that it talks about is just not trying to fix everything in your wife or get your wife to change, but realize that when you change, things around you and the people around you change. So if you're desiring a change in your wife, make some changes in yourself. Another thing, have you ever thought to ask your wife, sweetie, what could I pray for you about today? What could I take to God? What could I take to God on your behalf today? You'd be amazed at the walls that come down, because how easy it is to speak to God about the issue that you can't tell anyone else. And when your wife feels like, oh my goodness, my husband is going to reach out and go to God on my behalf, let me let my king know what's going on so that he can find the right ways to fix it. He can go to God on our behalf and fix our situation. Notice how I changed from mine to ours. That's what happens when you put in that level of respect, when you put in that caring. It's now a team effort to build the household rather than one warring with another, trying to see who's in charge and who's got the better picture or the better perspective or the better idea. Now it's we're going to God together to line our house up with his word and what's been established and the call upon our life as husband and wife. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You know, I, what you're saying, I was thinking about a lot of things there. And again, yeah, it is about us. It's about us taking responsibility for our homes, for our marriages, for our home life, for the atmosphere in our homes. It's about having a vision. You know, you said when you said that, you know, the last time you asked your wife, how can you pray for her? And one of the things that I struggled with in our marriage earlier, that my wife, that I was the problem. She was praying for me, and for me to ask her what can I pray for her about, it'd be praying about changing me to the man of God that she wanted me to be, that she knew I could be. And then we have to be in a place too, because again, we may be out of place of what you see. Because again, our wives, they know us. I don't care about the church. I don't care about our superficial. I don't care about what the facade or the face you put on to the world. You know, your wife knows you. Your children know you. You're not hiding anything from them. So to be honest, we have to search ourselves and figure it out. And that's the only way this thing can be fixed. And when we come under the submission of the word, again, if we are confessed Christians, confessed men of God, and dwelt with the Holy Spirit, understanding and studying the word, then we have to start to apply the word. And I think that's the greatest thing that we can show our wives. When we are living lives submitted unto God and his word and being led by the Holy Spirit in all things. So you're like the brother said, elder said, praying for our wives, praying with our wives, praying for our families, praying with our families. Does your family see you in that role? You know, I know we hear a lot about the man being the father and the husband being the priest of the home and all these things and the provider, but do they really see you that way? Do they see you pray? Do they see you in what is studying the Bible? Do they see you? Are you studying with the Bible? What are the things I've learned myself? I have to keep track of. Do I set time apart when I sit down with my wife and we do a Bible study? Or I know what she's reading, or she's on a devotional. You know, I'm washing her in the word, like the scripture said. I know spiritually where my wife is, what she's reading, what she's listening to, you know. Because some stuff, you know, I put it this way. Me and my wife will have a long discussion if I hear that she's listening to Joe Osteen a lot, or some of these other, you know, borderline folk, because that's doctrine, that's the spirit she's picking up. And if it's not biblical, or if it's erroneous or false prophets, I'm supposed to be on guard for that for our homes. So who's your wife listening to? What books is she reading for her spiritual growth and development? These are the things we have to ask ourselves. That's what we are called to lead in the homes on the spiritual level. Being a husband is more, and I think one of the things we have to get to understand young brothers and young couples, and it's more than just going, getting a good job, paying money, buying a house, having a car. She got a car, you got a car, you got a house, and everything's going well, and it's like that stuff. It's going to all pass away. But I like to, you know, I always go talk to somebody who's been married over 30 years and ask them what's really important. Because, you know, we try, you know, when you're young and you're married, you want to get a lot of stuff and things and house and get a house and a car and investments, and we're doing all this stuff. But talk to somebody who's been married a while and see what's really important and what's going to make a marriage last. And I think that's where we miss it a lot, because every generation, I was one too. Every generation thinks they know better than the last, and they haven't even challenged life. It's life, put it that way. Good, bad, trials, temptation, ups or downs. It's life is going to come at you. But the thing about that in marriage is, if we submit it unto what God's word says about who we are as husbands and wives, we're going to submit to Him, and we're going to cling together through this thing, because the Bible says we are one flesh. So anything that I go through, my wife goes through, anything she goes through, I go through. And that's what binds us together in covenant, that we're going to do this thing together. Now, but you have to always, always, what I always say when we talk about marriage is you have to be on the same accord. You have to be connected in that. You have to be connected spiritually and emotionally connected to be able to go through these things together. You have to fight against the flesh, pride, or you want to handle it, or shame, or guilt. All those emotions give the enemy a foothold in your marriage, because you really don't trust, or your wife really doesn't respect you. You know, and once we feel like our wife doesn't honor or value us, then the brother, he's in a dangerous spot, because he'll do anything. You know, the enemy will send some stuff. If a man gets in his mind that his wife doesn't value him or honor him, the enemy's got a foothold, because he's going to send somebody in some form or fashion that's going to make him feel what his wife is not, what he's not feeling from his spouse. It's as simple as that. That's one of those simple sins. That's one of those things the enemies use all the time to destroy marriages, because we leave a gap, we leave a space. So, amen. So I just wanted to be able to say that and encourage somebody out there who's listening. Do the tune-up on our marriages. Seek out to do better. And then what we're going to talk about, again, we want solutions. So one of the things I'm going to talk about three things. Elder, I'm going to come back to you real quick. First, I'm going to read the scripture real quick, and then we're going to talk about what I call the three pillars of any marriage. You can strengthen it, repair it, deliver it, reconcile it, bring it back to life, bring a dead marriage back to life, those three pillars. But first, I'm going to go to 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and we're going to go to verse number 7. 1 Peter, chapter number 3, verse 7. And this is a different translation. This is the New Living. Which one is this? I got so many here, but this is the paper one. Hold on, I got to go to the front cover and figure it out. Oh, the Living Bible, amen? Translation of the Living Bible. And it says, you husbands must be careful of your wives, being thoughtful of their needs and honoring them as a weaker sex. Remember that you and your wife are partners in receiving God's blessings, and that if you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not get ready answers. That right there, if how I treat my wife depends on the answer of my prayers to God, you got to do better. I'm just saying, that's what scripture says. So to do that, we're going to touch on three pillars right here. I want to encourage, again, I always want to give opportunity for solutions, or plant a seed of that we can think on and meditate on. So we have three pillars here to start, to solve, to heal, to mend, to deliver marriages. The first one is forgiveness. How important is forgiveness in marriage? How important is patience in marriage? And how important is communication? Elder, I'll let you go in first. You can start with forgiveness, patience, and communication. What do you say, sir?
You know, we've talked about this, and every time we go to the subject of marriage and like you said, forgiveness, patience, and I'm sorry, the third was forgiveness, patience, and what was the third one? I'm sorry, say sir.
It was communication.
Communication.
That's a big one. I always did it for last.
Yeah, right.
That's a big one.
You know, there's two words that I always use in talking to someone about marriage, and I'm gonna just throw it in there now. I know this will be another discussion for another day outside of submission, but it's unrealistic expectations. You expect your wife to forgive you, but you're not willing to forgive her. You hold a grudge against your wife for something she did or didn't do. You do or don't do all the time and want to hold her responsible and say, I don't know why she won't forget that. That was in the past. But yet you're holding on to the past yourself. You want her to listen patiently to everything you have to say. But when you disagree with what she has to say, you're ready to argue and then are mad when she won't hear you out. Then it comes to communication. You talk over her. You belittle her in the conversation and expect that she will hear you clearly. But the minute she says what you don't agree with, you cut her off, and you don't want to talk to her right now. All of that is unrealistic expectations if you think your situations will work like that. If you think she's supposed to forgive you, but you can hold a grudge, if you think that you can be fly off the handle and jump to everything, and she's supposed to just sit back and idly listen to your argument, to your disgust, to your anger without any thought of her of hers, and then if you expect to yell, belittle, and believe that she will hear any of your opinions or comments, and even if she hears them, accept them and follow them, it's an unrealistic expectation. Forgiveness is two ways. Patience. How can you expect someone to be patient with you if you're not willing to give them the same, the opportunity to just hear out what's on their heart, what's on their mind? That goes back into what we said a few minutes ago about asking your wife, what can I pray for you about today? And in the 7-Minute Marriage Solutions, it talks about, I said for the husbands, of course, to do it, but it says for the wives and the husbands to do it. In your daily devotional, both of you ask, what can I pray for you about today? From the wives to the husbands and the husbands to the wives, what can I pray for you about today? Communication. If you don't take the time to talk, none of us were created with a blank screen in our forehead. So you don't know what she's thinking from day to day, and she doesn't know what you're thinking from day to day unless you express it and do so in a manner in which you can plainly understand. But if you're always yelling, if you're frustrated and mad with everything that you got to say and everything that happened outside the home, every stress factor that happened outside you bring home and you're yelling at her, well, you can talk to your homeboys, you can talk to your friends, but you got to yell at your wife because she's the one that's supposed to be submissive, that's not the communication that works. Those are unrealistic expectations. If you believe that's the way that forgiveness, patience, and communication, as Deacon Farr said, pillars of a marriage, if that's the way you expect it to work, you've already destroyed and are steadily destroying your marriage. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. I thank you for that. And again, for the brothers that are listening, this is the Issue of Scripture Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr, and we're here with Elder Mark from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. And tonight we're talking about submission in marriage, also means freedom. And I just wanted to give a quick recap here on what we've been talking about when we talk about freedom. You know, freedom is the freedom in marriage when we are men under submission. And when we are under submission and authority of God, what God's word says who we are, and it defines us as husbands. What kind of husband are you? Do we live up to the core of what God says husbands should do and be in the marriage? Are we fulfilling that role? And are we living up to it? Again, submission to marriage, it brings benefits. It's a form of mutual respect and love. It's not forced. It's often freely given in response to each other's love. Again, because husband loves, and because a husband is caring, because a husband is putting his wife's best interest forward, the wife submits and he earns her devotion. This allows us to be free, to have the best flowing in and out of us, and thus the best interest and care of each other is at heart. And I think that's what the thing we have to remember about what marriage is all about. We have the best interest of each other is the core of who we are in marriage. Do you have the best interest of your wife? Do you, in the scripture, and I know scripture talks about being humility, is thinking highly of others than yourselves. If it doesn't start in the home, if it doesn't start in your marriage, you can't do ministry. You can't be in ministry. You're not going to do what God has called you to do if you're ministering and treating the members of your church or the congregation, or even when you are outreach ministering to strangers, if you're treating them better then and have more patience and forgiveness and kindness for them than you do your own spouse. This is where the part issues Christian men talk. We talk about check yourself, check your oil. You know, we all do service, we all serve in ministry, we all serve in the church. We do outreach, we do things, we answer phone calls for people in the middle of the night. But again, do you have that same faithfulness in your home and the struggles of your life? You know, when your wife comes to you with something, sometimes she'll come to you with something that she needs you. Are you taking time to hear what she's saying? Or you're like elders saying about expectations. Oh, well, my wife, she's been in church a while. She should be able to handle this on her own. That's not what she's called to do. That's why you're her husband. So if you can pastor it outside or minister or be the elder of the church better outside of your own home than you can to your spouse, again, this is the opportunity. I'm not calling nobody out, because it's not me holding you accountable. It's the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, and you're going to stand before God. And that's the other thing I want to bring to the attention of the brothers who are listening. If God is going to judge you on all, and if he judged you on your marriage, how would you stand before him? If that was the judgment of how you treated your spouse, I don't care about churches. I don't care about evangelism. I don't care if people you brought to Christ. I don't care about how much money you gave in offering and orphans and widows. How did you treat your spouse? How many of us could stand before God unashamed? That's what we have to look at ourselves as men, as husbands. Is God going to judge us? Will he still say, well done, my good and faithful servant, if he just looked at your marriage? But you now, remember, we're confessed Christians. We say we gave our love to Christ. We say we're obligated to Christ. We tell the world that we're saved and men of God and Christian men. Because God already knows where we are. This day, what's the day, the 10th? God knows where you are, but now, what is the opportunity? What are you going to do in the rest of your sanctifying walk on earth? How are you going to be? Make sure you're better. Are you going to do something different? And for those, again, I always want to back up. Because of every brother right now who's struggling, you don't have to be in this place this time next year, next month, or in 6 months. If you submit unto the word of God, you submit unto authority, you submit unto the counsel of the brethren. Because we always say in Issues Christian Men's Talk, you should have a circle of influence. There should be someone in your circle who you can go to and hold you accountable. And you're going to be obedient and come into submission to that accountability. If you don't have that, you're living in a dangerous place. And I don't mean you go to church with a bunch of brothers and y'all go out bowling and everything else. Who's in your life and speaking to your life you got that you're in a relationship where they can speak into your life, that you can go to them, and you know you're going to get wise, sound counseling because they care about you, they care about your soul, and they care about your family. This is Vinicius Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Paul. We're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And also, again, as a reminder for the brothers out there, the Man Coalition of Men's Ministries is back. We are manning up on Saturday, October the 20th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to be in Glen Burnie, Maryland. If you go to the Facebook page, at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, you can see the link. You can see the flyer there. You can go online. $20 donation required for lunch and your toolbox. You always, at Man Up Events, we send you home with some tools. We give you an electric screwdriver, some hammers, some nails, a sawzall, whatever you need to fix your relationship with God, fix your relationship with your marriage, fix your relationship with your children and the members of your church. We're going to give you some tools. We're going to give you a lot of tools you can use to improve you, to help you in your sanctifying walk. Because remember, God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for obedience and fruit. Okay? That's the thing we have to talk about. What are we producing? As men of God, what kind of fruit are we producing? Are we rooted and grounded in the things of God that we might produce a fruit that might be glorious, might glorify Him and edify the body? So I encourage you, brothers, come out and join us, spend some time in fellowship, connect one to another, and we're going to send you back. Hopefully, we're going to plant a seed that we may not see the fruit come, but we know we're going to do our part to plant seeds in the men, so we can understand what it means to have strength and submission. So that's Saturday, October the 20th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Again, you can go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on the Facebook page and see the link there. And we have set up the PayPal account link where you can go and pay and register and everything else. Elder Mark, I'm going to give you the last word, and you can close us out in prayer. Brother, again, thank you for joining us, and we're going to talk soon.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure. And to the listeners, to those on the line, those that may be calling in, those that go back and hear this later on another day, as always, we just pray that you have heard with an open heart and that you're blessed by that wasn't just a good conversation, but a conversation that would do good in your hearts, your minds, that will change your lives. We uplift and just encourage submission to change lives. Submit to the will of God, and your life will be changed for the better. Father God, we honor you and bless you. We thank you for another opportunity for fellowship and discussion to learn more of you and thus of ourselves. Continue to use us, Lord God, as we stand before you as willing disciples and servants. Use us, Lord God, and then strengthen us, Lord God, that we would see that as we submit to you, Lord God, as we submit to your will and way, we will receive the true treasures of eternal blessings that you have already set in place for us. We thank you, we celebrate you and honor you, and pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let me take a moment. It's now the roses of my life. All the things I treasure, you supply. The love of a mother and the heartfelt prayers of a child. Laughter with my good friend, my baby smile. Oh.